The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Subsided, 61-yard drive for the lead. It is Owens. He's got it. He's got it. He's got it.
Oh no! We suck again.
I'm starting to think we should do a show on Sundays, because then we don't have to come in like this, because we come in after a Canes game. And what happens is the Canes game gets wiped out by Lance Bass from NSYNC kicking a 61-yarder. Guy's never going to make another 60-plus-yard field goal in the rest of his career. But, of course, he makes that one. And so now we have to start the show like this when we should be talking about the 9-0 Canes. But, you know, that's what's fresh in our memory from yesterday, and so we have to weep a little bit.
Canes are very good.
Canes are good, man.
Canes are very good. I love
Cam Ward. That team. See, this is the familiar Monday feeling. So the Hurricanes did their thing. Dolphins didn't. And we've got a tale of two very different Miami football teams right now. But this Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo, they're fun. Like, this team can score points, and you know how I love points, because the defense has been a little suspect all season long. They can score points, and that makes it fun, man. Just fun.
And with the Dolphins game, don't kill me, that was good football.
I thought so.
That really was good football.
What happened?
Drank a pineapple seltzer and it kicked up something.
He hasn't cleared his throat in 22 years.
And every coach, he can still. Medvedev be doing his thing lately.
How's your phlegm?
Alfredo sauce is his mouthwash of choice.
Jack Daniels has always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. And who cares if Tua goes home and
Legend has it his phlegm is more dangerous than hot lava from a volcano.
We were blaming it on
goodness. I mean, that is is someone waterboarding you?
Goodness, I almost died.
Channing Crowder is the phlegmiest man in the world.
And some of those,
maybe the baby carrots and ranch weren't a great pre-show snack.
See, the thing with Crowder, Solana, it doesn't, like, nothing takes, because he always goes, oh, I had coffee or I had dairy or whatever. But then he goes, I had a pineapple seltzer. Well, so his entire life is spent all phlegmed up.
I'm nasally. I got a lot of nasal.
Oh, your nose in the morning. What goes on in your...
I don't know.
From the neck up, what's going on constantly?
That was a good, strong two-month run that I was clean.
We were just nice to you. Yeah. We were just nice. We just didn't play it.
Well, like I was saying, that was a playoff team with an MVP quarterback getting played drive for drive to the last moments of the game to win. That was good football.
We didn't come off on top
in Buffalo. And that's what I was looking at the game. And then I listening to Joe today. I was listening to Tobin Leroy and them. That was the football game you're supposed to play in. That's what it's supposed to look like. And you're supposed to come out on top of them. But the run game was going. Solana, I told you, don't have a shootout. I would say we don't have a shootout team anymore. We have that team. We have 27-24 teams. That's the games we have to win and lose. So that was the most impressive loss of the season, I would say. Out of the six losses, that was an impressive loss.
Yeah, Tua was excellent, by the way. And anyone who has anything bad to say about Tua, I think, is just kind of entrenched in a position. Like, you can't ask. He's accurate. I mean, he had that bad, you know, snap exchange at the beginning. Everybody was ready to jump all over him. But he was excellent. The offense scored enough points. And to be quite honest, there's a couple of mistakes that end up going, you know, the other team's direction. The Jordan Poyer penalty. Listen, I never played defense. It's very difficult for a defensive player to be able to, you know, accurately judge exactly where everyone's going to be when the offensive player can move around. It's a penalty. I'm not saying it's not a penalty, because it is a penalty. It's helmet to helmet. And then, listen, if you told me that you have a chance to go to overtime against a Buffalo team that's favored by almost a touchdown, and it'll all come down to a Tyler Bass 61-yard field goal, and I've seen the guy miss an extra point and doink another extra point in, like, I'd take that scenario every time, as would Mike McDaniel. And it just didn't, you know, of course, are the two words that we utter a lot in South Florida. And that was an of course.
There's three more minutes. We go down and kick a field goal or score a touchdown and win it or tie it. That's how playoff game, that looked like a playoff game to me. That's what you watch. When you watch the good teams play the good teams, it's that second half. If what it is, progression, and I know I'm not talking about playoffs. I think we're too far away. We'd have to win 9 in a row. I know. I understand all of that. But it looked like we were playing football again yesterday, and that's what I took away from the game, even with the loss.
And that's the Tua effect. And by the way, for those who might question, Dan Orlovsky tweeted this out. Since Tua has come back, okay, two games. Since Tua has come back, he's 53 for 66 with 465 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, average of 27 points per game, and they've lost both games.
Hmm?
It ain't his fault.
No.
I think he's doing his part.
Yeah, and they're picking on whoever Jalen Ramsey's not covering. I don't know if Pitty understood that. Like, oh, he's got Marcus May and Cam Smith are making all these tackles. Yeah, because they're throwing at them every time. Like, they can see the weakness. They can see I call them ducks. Where's the duck at? Okay, going over there by him. Yeah, these guys get paid too. I said it last week. Buffalo is a top five offense in this league with an MVP candidate. And it looked like it. I'll tell him, the damn defense, some of them calls were ridiculous. They played zone, and zone was going good. Every time they blitzed them, it's a big play. Hey, fella, stop sitting to people. Let them play the zone. Let them get 7 yards, work down the field, and see if you can get a, you know, stop them on a 3rd and 4. Every time they send somebody, they let that little pretty eye boy catch the ball in the flat and go 70 damn yards. I said, he got blue eyes. Ain't nobody whooping me with no green eyes.
I think a lot of the problems are defensive, and I would say that you really have to look at Chris Greer again. We've talked about this the last few weeks, but you could have locked in Christian Wilkins a couple seasons ago. You gambled on him. You could have signed Andrew Van Ginkle really for what you were. That's the one that's confounding. I see the look on Solana's face. That's the one that is so confounding to me. It's not like he went and got this massive payday in Minnesota. It was pretty equivalent. So I don't, you know, you have to question some of the. And remember, when it first started happening, we were a little up in arms over the defense. But then they made some moves and you were like, you know what? Maybe this is, didn't we sign someone that ended up retiring on the first day of camp?
Yeah.
Shaq Barrett, maybe?
Yeah, Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, and obviously there's injuries too, but, you know. I mean, you can't feel despondent after that. You can feel despondent because the season's over. Like, you can feel that way. You can't feel despondent about the performance, because the performance, like you said, I mean, that's kind of what you're going to do against a really good team on the road. Like, that's the game you're hoping for. You're not going to go in there and smoke them.
Am I disgusted about the last 6 weeks? Yes. Am I disgusted about the last 24 hours? Nowhere close. And defensively, you have two Pro Bowl caliber defensive ends. We get no pass rush, and Josh Allen was sitting back there. He was playing 7-on-7. But if Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are in there, this defense looks a lot better. I'm not defending Chris Greer because there's flaws in this roster. But, yeah, just taking into account, like, that was a hell of an effort on both sides of the ball yesterday by a team that's not going to make the playoffs and shouldn't make the playoffs while they played the last month and a half.
You say effort?
I was encouraged.
Just be happy he was able to get it out without Fleming up.
I was encouraged by yesterday. You know, and then Lions lose their best defensive end, and they go beat people by 60.
Yeah.
They're a special team, man. They're a special team. They're fun to watch. Can't not like Dan Campbell and watching him getting just pelted by rain, and he loves it. He loves it. Like, he loves
playing the rain, playing the snow, playing the mud. We're built for this.
You see defensive coordinator, his glasses, they were making fun of him on the broadcast because he couldn't see out of his glasses. Doesn't matter. Right. Doesn't need
he
to
don't
see.
Care.
Doesn't need to
Coach
see.
Coach by feel. Coach by feel.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not worried about anything else but the next opponent. Playoffs, any of that, we're not worried about that. Worried about who the next opponent is, and we're trying to win out. Yeah, like I said, I would say we took a step in the right direction as a team, collectively. This is the ball that we want to show on Sundays, but there's a lot of things we're always going to have to clean up. And we're going to continue to skin the cat however we need to. And, you know, we're going to move forward with that. That's it.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you. As Tua Tagovailoa talking about moving forward and got to play like this, got to clean a few things up, and to hit the road for Monday Night Football against the L.A. Rams, and Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel joins us this morning. Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. I sort of a split personality. The Canes having one of those great seasons, and the Dolphins are going the other way. Look, if they were 4-3 or, you know, then I can understand, we're going to trust the process and optimism. I expected a little anger out of that the locker room yesterday.
No, I got to tell you, man, I knew as poorly as they played, I knew it was going to be kind of a positive take, like, hey, we hung together and we played a really competitive game against maybe our toughest opponent on the road in the team that's controlled the AFC East. I really felt like, I'm not saying they were happy they lost, but it was just like we didn't get blown out. It was kind of that feel to it a little bit.
Yeah, that surprised me. These are the big leagues. It's about winning, and especially in this season and this moment. Again, if they were 4-3, and you'd say, okay, you can live with that because you saw, you know, you see a new formula on the offense, and it's a good formula that McDaniel and Tua are running, where a lot more running the ball and short, you know, still the short swing passes, but Buffalo started to adjust to that, and all of a sudden, bam, you go to deep to Tyreek, and it's not the we're going to have explosive plays and three play drives and score, you know, long passes right. anymore. And so I like that. Can they keep it that? We'll see. But, you know, again, this season's in dire straits, 2-6. I think we'll look back, and really the Arizona game will be the game that you know, put the seal on where they were going. Yeah. But still a lot of football left.
Hey, Dave, you know, it's funny because coming out of that game, offensive line played a fourth straight really good football game. Pass protection, their run blocking. I mean, and some of the holes were some of the biggest run blocking holes I've ever seen. Your fullback was blocking his butt off. Ingle was just fantastic before he got injured yesterday, and hopefully he's okay. But and they got that Tua back there, comfortable, looked a lot more comfortable, only, you know, completed most of his passes in the game. And you score 27 points, but it was enough. They almost have to play perfect and learn how to win. And they've needed some defensive stops at the end. But to me, the one play yesterday, I don't know about for you, it wasn't even the Mostert fumble was costly because it ended up, like most turnovers, it ends up in a touchdown the other way. But also, the Poyer, what did you think of the Poyer play?
Yeah, you can't do that. That's a textbook helmet to helmet that the league has outlawed and been very loud in outlawing it. And you know, it's just unfortunate that it happened at that moment. You can't make that play.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, they had them in third and, I think it was third and 14, 54 seconds, no timeouts. A good situation to push it into overtime, and then you get the offsides to chop Robinson, which third and 9. That's doable, and then the penalty by Poyer. That again, you know, you want to see the perfect storm, and I think you mentioned it earlier. Tyler Bass has been off. You know, he's about to be replaced in Buffalo. He can't make an extra point, and he kicks a 61-yard field goal to win it. So, unfortunate, but, you know, if you're the Dolphins, the good news is, yeah, they played better. They played their best game. But ultimately, it came down to me. Look at Buffalo did in the second half on offense. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Three long drives, and then the field goal to win it. And I'm not blaming you know, Anthony Weaver, or the question is who do they have to make plays on defense? They're playing three guys in their 30s. You can say, look, they got some bad injuries. Chubb and Phillips and Sealer and Holland were out this game. But they've also made some planning decisions. No Christian Wilkins, no Andrew Van Ginkle, Raekwon Davis gone. But I don't know who they have. This is a game they needed someone to step up and make a play on defense, and really in the second half, nobody did.
So let me ask you this question. Trade deadline's tomorrow. I believe the Dolphins are going to stay where they are and not do anything and just try to win as many football games they can and would love to grab. I'm guessing the goal's got to be grab that last wild card position, which is still a long shot. You still got to do a lot of winning to do that, but you think they'd make any moves at all? Would be most likely to trade somebody for a draft pick?
No, they aren't going to do that. Not after that game where they showed a spark, but also what would Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel be saying if they trade for tomorrow? I mean, they're not living for tomorrow. They gotta show that they can turn this, if not this season, at least this team around to play football consistently like they did yesterday. Beyond that, you know, the guys getting traded are in the last years of contracts and they're going for fifth round or seventh rounders. I mean, if the Dolphins are going to make a big splash trade, they're going to do it in the offseason when the salary cap can be managed, because assuming we're talking a trade, a Waddle or a Tyreek Hill or somebody of that nature that's really earth shaking. That stuff happens in the off season. The only move I can think of that the Dolphins could make is if they want to be super nice, and they did say their season's over, which, again, I don't think is that's going to happen. They put Calais Campbell onto a contender for a seventh-round pick or for something, just to be nice, because he's been
one of the two or three best players on your team right now.
Yeah, and he's 38, and you know, let him. But I don't think anything's.
I don't think they're
going to do anything.
Hey, real quickly too, the Canes. This story again. You've been around a long time and covered a lot of the really good Canes football teams. You ever seen anything like this? They're up 14-0. They're down in the third, 28-17, and then they go right back and go, okay, that's enough, and they outscore their opponent 36-3 to finish the game.
Yeah, they you know what? They shouldn't be a life and death with some of these teams with the talent, but the fact they are and are not buckling says something good about them. The other thing that the takeaway every game is Cam Ward. I mean, he makes passes, he makes decisions, and you know, I heard you talking earlier, Joe. He's a big guy. He's 6'2", he's thick, he extends plays. He not only can run the play you call in the huddle, but he can run the play that he's running in his mind when the first one breaks down. So he's. I'm curious. You know, I talked to a couple NFL scouts, and they aren't saying, you know, their work's still going on, but you can tell he's going high in the draft.
You know, it's I thought the 66-yard catch to Restrepo, who caught it and ran most of it, the throw in that tight window before
great pass.
I mean, that thing, and it got there quickly. I don't know what the quick release or what, but he split that, and by the time that ball got there, there wasn't a whole lot of room between defender on the inside and outside, and he's often and running for a touchdown. He just makes these throws. Hey, he's to the point. So I told my son, I call on, I go, hey, listen, I'm going to be home this weekend. You got to see Cam Ward in person. You got to see the show. He goes, man, I'm in. So like, he's must see. I think he's really that good. It'd be great if they somehow could get a home game here and folks could come see a playoff game. My God, that would be just phenomenal. How do you think they match up with some of the other teams? Ohio State, because they had a nice win against Penn State. They came back and won, or Oregon. How do you think they'd match up with some of the top teams?
The question to me is, are they playing to level, in other words, to the level of competitions here, the Cals and the Dukes and at times, because they won't be afforded that luxury against the Ohio States and Georgias. Or when they go into those games, they guess, oh, we got this other level we can go to. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending how you look at it, their schedule is set. I don't think they have a ranked team right now on the whole schedule, do they? And so not just left, but, I mean, they haven't played one. And so it's going to take till the playoffs or I guess the ACC championship game to know just what level they can go at to when they're pushed by a really good team.
Yeah, I'm curious. And my question would be, I think offensively you can score against anybody because they really do have good players across the board. But defensively, they had the same problems in the first half again, gave up a lot of big plays, had broken coverage in there and some things. But, man, it doesn't faze them. They don't go, oh, no, we're in trouble. They just go, we're getting ready to turn it up in the fourth quarter. Can you match us?
Yeah, they had trouble man-to-man, and they switched to zone, and then things got better. And coupled with there really wasn't much pass rush in Saturday's game.
No, there wasn't.
And so that surprised me with the talent they have up front. Maybe it's I don't know. I'm curious. Again, when they play a really good team, can they push it up another notch?
Hey, so we got a lot of things going on. What's the next event you're going to here with? The Panthers are playing out of this friggin' world. They're playing like they're on their way to another Stanley Cup. My God, their last five games, they have been incredible how good they were, including going to another country.
Yeah, Barkov had a nice homecoming.
Well, not bad at all.
And not just him, Lundell, all of them. They go home and but they're, you know, they're riding the momentum of last year's Stanley Cup, and I assume at some point they're going to take the foot off the gas a little, and not yet, but maybe, you know, February, March, just They did last year just to collect themselves a little for the playoffs. So we'll see. But they're nothing to worry about at all. They're right now the UM2, the class of what's going on down here.
Yeah, no question about that. So really appreciate you coming on, Dave, just to talk. I want to see how you were feeling, man, because it's been gloom and
doom. How are you doing, Joe? You had the big flight back and everything. And
So let me tell you. So it was by far the best game they played. They played hard. Nobody quit. But it's still about winning. It's not about coming close. And we ever get to a point, oh, boy, it was really close against a really good team, we got problems. It's got to be about being able to go on the road. And by the way, we've seen some really bad teams go on the road this year and get wins against really good teams. So it can happen. It just we haven't done it yet. And
can they play that way consistently too? That's one game. You know, that's one game they've really played that way. So and that first half they played was their best first half of their season, and I don't even know what would be second. And can they come out another day and play like that? So we'll see.
Yeah, hey, Dave, I got to tell you, the offensive line, spread the word. That offensive line, they're healthy. And the last four games, another 149-yard game there of rushing the ball and their pass protection, Tua going to have some success. Those guys keep blocking like that. It should be fun. Dave, thank you. Really appreciate
it.
See you later in the week. Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel joining us here. Talk a little bit. And he wasn't all bad. He didn't want to fire everybody today. Dave was good. Hey, we got a lot of stuff going on that we want to get to. I want to let you know, man, you've heard all of it. Men have to be strong. Men have to be tough. But when it comes to our health, we need to be smart, especially if we're 45 years or older. Especially in your 60s, man, starting to getting a lot of stuff done, man, spending more time. I used to laugh at my dad for being at doctors all the time. Now I get it. That's why I want to invite all of you to join Alonzo Mourning, another special guest, including Dan Marino and Ed Jovanovski at the Miami Heat Men's Health Summit, and learn how to take a proactive approach to your health from some of the country's most renowned health experts. Plus, you can enjoy fun activities, giveaways, raffles for autograph prizes, and so much more. There's no time to waste. No time to waste on this topic. Come in and get a health screening like Alonzo Mourning did. It saved his life, and it can save yours. Boy, I'll tell you what, I started thinking, Kim Bocamber got me going now too. It's go time. It's Zoe time. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/Zotime. That's baptisthealth.net/ZOTIME. Saturday, November 16th, 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Some of our biggest stars here in South Florida will be out there. They're getting older. It's important to them. Should be important to you.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk some Dolphins. Were you encouraged enough by the performance last Sunday in Buffalo by the Dolphins to think that, yeah, they can play good football and they could win Monday night?
I was. And there was a couple things. Obviously, getting Zach Sealer back is going to help. I think him not being there the last 2 weeks is probably a big reason why they don't eke out those games. But, you know, I was talking to Devon Achane yesterday about the offense, and I asked him about, like, the short passing game that really worked against the Bills, and, like, is that just like an evolution that they've been working on throughout the season, or is it game plan? He alluded to more game plan. So I liked that the fact that Mike McDaniel was able to scheme something up that was really effective against the Bills, because they've, you know, as much problems the Dolphins have had with the Bills offense, they've also struggled against that Bills defense. And they were basically able to get whatever they wanted aside from the fumble. That 97-yard drive, you know, it was so impactful to me that they were able to use guys like Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle as almost like decoys, open things up. You didn't necessarily have to force feed them the ball. So I thought it was really a good job of Mike McDaniel scheming around the Bills. You'd like to see him finish, but no, it's definitely a positive.
And Mike, 2-6 right now, you know, Monday night they have the Rams, and then they have Vegas and New England. I thought at 2-6 it's over. Like, what happens? Like, the encouragement of it. Because if you can go out there and beat the Rams, now you're 3-6. And
yeah,
now you have two bad teams. You have the Raiders, you have the Patriots, who are very bad teams. So now you're at 5-6. Is that the thought of that you have to win these next three games?
I am in very much an enjoy the ride mode. This team has been a little streaky the last couple of years. They'll go on these win streaks and they go on these losing streaks. So who knows? Maybe they can find something they can string together here. The schedule definitely opens up for it to not, you know, be completely out of the picture that they can make a run here, but their margin for error is now zero. They have no more games to mess around with. Obviously, you look at the record last year, winning 11 games. It's probably going to be 10, 11 games to get in the playoffs again this year. So they can't mess around, right? You have to go out and win these games. But, you know, the offense looking whole, I mean, with the exception, we have to see what's going on with Austin Jackson. That's a shame, because the offensive line had probably been playing its best since Mike McDaniel got here. But seeing the defense starting getting guys back like Zach Sealer, you really felt like maybe this team, from an injury standpoint, was finally moving in a good direction. But yeah, I think the next couple of games they can string something together and really not, like, I don't know, I don't want to say lose hope, but I think there's still hope for this season, but it's going to be a ride. And so that's where I'm at now. Just kind of enjoy the ride and see where it goes.
All right, so Cuño, I mean, I torched Chris Greer for the first couple months of the season because he made the offensive line comments before the season, and the offensive line wasn't good to start the season. But you just mentioned how the offensive line has played better. Is that the biggest surprise to you? Because Tua coming back and looking good, none of us are really surprised. Is it the offensive line finally having cohesion, health, and looking good leading the run game?
Yeah, it is, and for a number of reasons. Obviously, health is – let's start with that, because, remember, Aaron Brewer didn't play the entire training camp and preseason, really, because of the injury. So to have him in there basically thrown into a group of guys who have been playing together for a few years now, to see that all come together, to see them playing cohesively, that has definitely been the big surprise. And McDaniel mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, finding the positives in some of these losses, and that's it. It's the running game, right? They can lean on that. Now, you don't like silver linings in a season when you're 2-6, but that's where this team is at, unfortunately. And these close games, you just wonder what could have been of this season. You look at the last three games, all decided by a total of 10 points. That's heartbreaking, because instead of a possible four-game win streak here, you're on a three-game skid. So finding the positives is hard in those situations. But at this point, you just got to build on what you got and see what happens.
What's your thought, though, you know, when you talk about – because we've all done this, and Crowder said this a million times, the run game. You got to rely on the run game. And you talk about the silver lining being the run game. What if we get to the end of the season? I believe we're eight games in. Tyreek Hill has one 100-yard game, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's only got one. I think it was game one.
Yeah.
What happens at the end of the season if the story is that the run game was there? Tyreek Hill's going to want out of here. He wants the story to be that he's closing in on a 2,000-yard season. I mean, that's what, you know, I mean, he can say all the things that he wants to say, but you know he wants that to be the story. What if he's not going to hit 1,000 yards? Like, what would be the point of him staying here?
Well, he wants to stay here. That's what he said.
He says he wants to stay here, but get to the end of a 17-game season and have 850 yards receiving.
But I think you got to look at it with all the context involved and Tua missing four or five games, right? I mean, that's a big deal too. I don't think you can necessarily discredit that. And I think Tyreek's probably in a place in his career where he understands that, you know, it's not just one of the diva wide receivers where it's just get me the ball, get me the ball, get me the ball. I mean, again, last week you saw the offense move effectively in this different kind of way where they're not necessarily having to force feed him. And then it opens things up where he has those two pass plays of 25 yards or more. Now, obviously, he makes so much money. He needs the ball in his hand. You know, you go back to last night's game, the Bengals and the Ravens, in those late game situations, those 2-point conversions, I don't care if it's a good throw or not, you got to throw it to Jamar Chase, right? At some point, the Dolphins' offense needs to be carried by those guys. You know, I just think maybe each game is differently, like I mentioned against the Bills, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be some sort of drama-filled situation. He's not at 1,000 yards this year because of the injuries at quarterback.
And, Mike, George Edwards, who is the linebacker coach of Tampa right now, he's been the defensive coordinator at Buffalo, Detroit. He brought me in. He had a saying, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. The thought of the defensive end position with Jalen Phillips being hurt and Bradley Chubb being out and all that, like, should the Dolphins have done something in the trade deadline, because they didn't move anybody, they didn't move for anybody? Do you think they missed for not doing anything in that trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, you could have gone out and got someone. I think it's just whether the juice was worth the squeeze in terms of the draft picks, because obviously we're looking at it now and you're like, man, depth there on defense has really been lacking. It's why they go out and draft Chop Robinson last year in the first round. That's why, and that's a good positive sign you're seeing him get back there and finally get his first sack. But I agree with you. I thought that the Dolphins were going to make a move. I thought the Dolphins were going to stand pat, and that's what they did. But if there was a move to make, it was to go and get an outside linebacker or edge rusher. But I think at 2-6, you wonder, do you go and get the guy that is maybe a rental in a season that's not basically promised that you'll make the playoffs, or do you hold on to that and maybe load up with some younger guys through the draft? And I think that's where they have to really start to hit on some of these guys, because, you know, they've spent a lot of money on extending a lot of the guys on the offense. At some point, you got to address the defense as well, and maybe that is through the draft where they can lock some of these guys up. It's just, yeah, I think had the record been closer to 500 or maybe a game over 500, I think they make the move. But at 2-6, I think it was tough to give up a future pick for someone who might have been a rental.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
No Tyreek Hill at practice today either during that same portion, but several beat writers did note that he wasn't on the injury report yesterday, so it could just be a off day for him, rest day for Tyreek Hill. So I guess we'll find out.
I don't think
there's
any validity to what I asked Cunho Crowder, where Tyreek Hill, he wants to be here and he's a team player. But that's one thing if you end up going to the playoffs and you're in the postseason. That's another thing if you end 7-10, you caught 865 yards on the season, you went over 100 yards, maybe one game, and you're watching, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who's the guy that they brought in, had the good game last week.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. He's watching DeAndre Hopkins catch balls from Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he wants to go back to KC, although that was a rumor at the beginning of the season. But I'm just saying, couldn't you see at the end of the season, if the one, you know how they do the end of the season grades? If the one good grade is the running game and he's running wind sprints most games, because you get to the end of the season, you can have all the context you want that Tua wasn't out there and it was Tyler Huntley throwing you the ball, whatever. You get to the end of the season, you're a receiver. You don't have enough targets. You don't have enough receiving yards. You didn't go to the postseason. They're talking about how the running game was a bright spot.
And like, he's not a Pro Bowler right now. He's not going to the Pro Bowl. It's Calvin Johnson with no yards. That's the first man I thought about is like, you're on a bad team. But Calvin Johnson was the bright point of a bad team.
You know what I mean? Tyreek, I mean, the receivers, Michael Irvin always said, we're divas. Like, and you want receivers to be divas.
So you're on a bad team and you're still not eating. That'll be frustrating to the guy that last year, by the players in the world, were voted the number one football player in the world. And now you're sitting at 875 with two games left. It's going to be frustrating to him.
Yeah.
It will be. And he's not Jalen Waddle. And I'm not saying he's just a diva money guy. He's going to get his check and do whatever it takes. Tyreek Hill has seen success. Now I'm not successful. Now I'm not getting 12 targets a game. There are bad receivers out there right now getting 9, 10 targets a game. And Tyreek's getting 6.
And again, I'm supposed to be the best player in the league, according to the other players.
It will get frustrating to Tyreek. And I'm sure Mike McDaniel, Tua, and him have had to have a conversation by now, because Tyreek isn't a church mouse. Tyreek's going to let you know how he feels about things.
But aren't those frustrations, I guess, felt less when you're the highest paid player ever for a wide receiver in terms of guaranteed money?
Because I think you'd be the highest paid player at that position wherever you were.
And dudes, once you get paid, now it's just salary. Now we have to talk about winning.
You know, that like, to me, Solana, that's cured by one of two things. Like Crowder says, either you're a looter in a riot, team stinks, but your numbers are fantastic, you're doing your part, or the team's great, so you'll accept a little bit of a lesser role because for the greater good. But when both those things are missing, then to me, you've got problems. I see this heading down a problematic path.
Calvin Johnson was the best receiver in the league, numbers-wise, and the Detroit Lions were terrible. Right now, Travis Kelce's, he has one touchdown all season, but you're the favorite to win the Super Bowl, so you kind of, you chill out a little bit. You don't have your numbers, and your team is 2-6. That's going to frustrate the hell out of a great player.
That's what I think.
He's won his Super Bowl already. He almost broke the record for the most yards last year. Probably would have done it had he not gotten injured.
That's what I'm saying. That makes this more frustrating.
I get it, but I'm just saying, like, one off year because Tua Tagovailoa got hurt, it should frustrate him, but also they paid him a lot of money, more than any team has ever paid any wide receiver, and it's 1 year.
Right, and he's saying, you didn't use me right. You're not using me right. Your money's not being well spent.
The money conversation is never had in the locker room.
It's already been had. It's over.
It's contracts are done. I'm making more money than you. You're making more money than me. Are you producing? Am I producing? Are we doing what it is? Like I would say amongst the team and amongst Tua and Tyreek and everybody, even David Long Jr. or whoever this Walker Jr. guy is who led the team in tackles, never met him before in my life. The money thing is gone. What are you doing to help us win? And Tyreek is not doing what I thought he could do. If I'm Anthony Walker
Jr., what you know he could do.
Why are you – throw him the ball. Why are we – throwing? Durham Smythe doesn't need any damn targets. Throw him the ball.
I'm with you. I think he's frustrated. I just don't think it's going to get to the point where he forces himself out of Miami. I think he likes being in Miami.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't either. But
I think he loves being in Miami, too. I think he would love to play the rest of his career here. unless they don't make the playoffs and he doesn't get nearly the targets that he thought he was going to get and has no chance to put up any kind of numbers, doesn't even go to a Pro Bowl. Like, then what am I doing here?
Yeah.
He's one day, right now, he's 1 second closer to retirement than he was a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand what I just said.
Yeah, it was really deep. Very deep, Crowder.
He fancies himself Denzel as well. Like Crowder, he's obviously around some people that are giving him that kind of that kind of swole head. You know,
right
he's,
now.
Yeah, we got
15 seconds closer to retirement than he was when I said it the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
We're 1 second closer now to the end of today's show than we were when I started telling you that.
Let's maximize, Hawk.
It's what bothers me about, like, fans, because I could see Crowder meeting a group of fans. Oh, we love the Dolphins. Crowder, we love listening to you. And he dropped something like that, and fans will just go, oh, yeah, oh, man, that's good. Yeah.
I was right. Yeah, but that's what happens to Denzel. That's why it's so shocking when he met the Heat at the elevator, and they're like, no, we just want to take a picture, man. We don't need a speech.
I was headed to the room today, and it was like a young, like a photographer that's working for one of these fighters out here at the Double Down Fight Championship, and we're all in the same hotel. And he was like, man, I love the podcast, bro. And he's sitting there, and I'm like, I'm about to go to my room. Asia's up here, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the room. He's like, man, can I ride with you? I was like, yeah. And he asked me. He was like, hey, man, you've been so successful in so many different avenues of life. You know, like, if you have to just, because I'll never see you again in my life, you had to give me some knowledge. Like, what's the main thing you would say? I said, bro, you want a cheat code? He said, yes. Yeah, the cheat code. Say you got to grind. The grind is better than the success.
I had to hit the emergency alarm on the elevator.
How old are you? 25. I said, see, kids your age don't know about work. You don't work just to succeed. You work to work. Success comes in the end.
I had to hit you over the head with my camera.
Meanwhile, all it took was being friends with Ryan Clark.
You want the cheat code? You got to enjoy the grind. The grind is what you have to love.
I talk to people in their language. So if he's a photographer, I go, life is like an open aperture. I always do whatever they're doing, I bring it back to them. I go, sometimes you have the aperture wide open. Sometimes you have the aperture closed up. But you got to know the right situations and where your aperture should be.
You can't tell me what I just said is not better than what Hawk just said.
I made it understandable for the guy in the elevator. Nobody knows aperture.
Nobody knows what that means.
He knows. I spoke at his language level. You just told him to grind.
What was better? Jimmy, what was better? Me or Hawk?
Crowder. No, you're the best.
There you go.
Jimmy, let me explain it to you in
I understood that language. Better.
Well, let me explain it to you in your language, though. All right? Life is hair gel. Sometimes you got to know when to cake it on. Sometimes you got to know when to go sans gel.
Speaking of apertures, Hawk, walked into CVS today and had to get a protein shake. And
I hate everyone that I'm surrounded with.
And right now, we're going to be joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game, day be delicious.
All right, thank you so much there, Dan. Appreciate it. Brian Baldinger joins us right now. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Baldy, good morning. How you doing, brother?
Hey, good morning, Joe. I'm doing fine. Good to be with you, brother.
Well, nice to be with you. And first of all, we'll start with... Dolphins played one of the best games they played probably in the last 5, 6, 7 years against the Buffalo Bills. 30-27 loss. What'd you think overall? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, look, Tua played great. They're not getting explosive plays, Joe. I think they had one big pass, you know, over 20 yards to Tyreek the whole day. You know, the screen or the pass to Ray Davis, you know, obviously killed him. You know, it was a broken assignment. It looked like, you know, they were man coverage. I don't know what Jordan Brooks was doing, but it looks like he's responsible for the back. They get an easy, you know, 63-yard touchdown, and then, you know, they went it with the 61-yard field goal. You know, I mean, those are plays that, you know, if you make them, you probably win. If you can't make either one of them, you don't win. They went toe-to-toe with them. It was a really good game. I thought Tua was – I guess the only thing you would say about Tua, Joe, honestly, is, like, he's excellent at getting the ball out of his hands and throwing it quick. But, I mean, you're not getting any big plays down the field the way we're kind of accustomed to seeing Waddle and Tyreek playing.
Yeah, I'm just curious. So that's been a big topic. The two deep has, you know, hurt them and having trouble getting both the guys on the outside you spend a lot of money on with new contracts. And they just haven't been able to get – and we got spoiled last year. It was happening two or three times every friggin' game at least. What has changed so much? Because the offensive line, the pass protection, the run blocking, actually the last 4 weeks, these guys seem like they've been pretty good.
No, Achan ran the ball really well. He's your best back right now. And so they're feeding him, and that's the right thing to do. And they got a good mix and a good blend of running and passing. But, you know, the best teams in this league right now, Joe, are running it more than they're throwing it. I mean, you just go across the board right now, whether you're looking at Detroit, Baltimore, Washington, I mean, Philadelphia, they're all running it more than they're throwing it. They're looking at those coverages, and, like, the only way you get them out of that coverage is to run them out of it and get them out of it. And the good teams are doing that right now, and they're content doing it that way. You know, and they manufacture the big plays and explosive plays off play action or however they have to do it. If you have, you know, Lamar Jackson, if you have Joe, you know, right now Jared, you know, is playing so good in Detroit. So, you know, you're manufacturing the big plays when you can get them. But for the most part, you're content just to sort of nickel and dime teams down the field right now.
Hey, we don't know. I don't know a lot about the Rams yet as the Dolphins get set for Monday Night Football. I'm just curious. What are your thoughts just on the matchups? I know the Rams have really started to play a lot better in their passing game. They got all their receivers back, and they look like a different team. What do you think about this matchup Monday night?
Well, I mean, look, Matt Stafford can still sling it, Joe. He reminds me, honestly, a lot of Dan Marino. Like, that guy takes a beating. That guy just as tough as can be. He just keeps firing. His offensive line's got a rookie center. He's got a free agent rookie left guard. But they battle and they're really good. Kyren Williams is a hell of a running back. He's really a good player. And so they just kind of keep coming at you. And they've drafted four defensive linemen in the last 2 years: Jared Verse, you know, Fisky, Kobe Turner, and these guys, Byron Young. These guys they play a lot of snaps. They're really good, Joe, and they just keep getting better. Last week, Fisky was a dominant player against Seattle. Jared Verse looks like what you saw last week in Buffalo. He looks like the next coming of Gregory Rousseau. He's just long and powerful, and, you know, he crushes the pocket, so your protection has got to be pretty good. But they're not a great team in the secondary. There's a lot of plays to be made down there against them, but they play really hard. They're really gritty. They won a tough game in Seattle last week. But they also have, you know, the receivers make a difference. Puka got thrown out of the game for punching somebody last week. That kind of threw him off a little bit. But him and Cooper, like, those two guys always look like they're open, and they always look good after the catch.
Yeah, no question. And we've seen that show for a while. All right. Saw you on NFL Network, a lot of the trade deadline stuff. Just curious. The big winner as we go down the stretch was kind of interesting. Yeah. Were there like 18, 19 moves made by teams to try to get better here? What'd you think?
Well, this is like, I mean, you're in the situation yourself, Joe, but we have nine teams right now that have two wins. Like, I've never seen it this bad before where it's such a disparity. So good teams, Pittsburgh, Washington, whatever, they went out, Detroit, they went out and plucked good players from bad teams. Marshawn Lattimore makes a lot of sense in Washington. They need a corner really bad. He's a good matchup corner. He's a tough kid from Cleveland. He tackles really well. There's no weakness to Marshawn's game. Pittsburgh, they've had injuries to Alex Highsmith and Nate Herbig, guys opposite T.J. Watt. They know what outside linebackers look like in Pittsburgh. They picked up Preston Smith. He can play over the tight end. He can set the edge. He can rush the passer. There's a need for that. And then they got Mike Williams. And they know that if they get to the postseason, that they're going to have to be able to throw it and make big plays in the passing game. And so they've been looking for a receiver opposite of George Pickens, and I think Mike Williams could be a really good compliment for him. I think all those teams, look, Za'Darius Smith in Detroit makes sense. He's a good player. He's not Aiden Hutchinson. Nobody really is, but he plays the game the right way.
Yeah.
He'll fit in that locker room, fit in with the culture. He's a worker, and he really likes the game.
Hey, the radio special from last week has to do with that team that's undefeated right now, the better known as the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes' team. Going against Tampa Bay, what do you think of Todd Bowles' decision at the end? I know it's the radio second guest special. What do you think? You go for one or two at the end of the game?
Well, here's the thing with that call, Joe. If Mahomes does what he does in overtime, you're like, well, why didn't you just go for two? Well, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is of converting that 2-point try right now is in the league. It's
I think I saw 41%.
That's what I'm saying. I know it's less than 50%, Joe. So if you go, okay, well, if you don't make it, you lose. If you do make it, all right, you win the game. Okay, so you're 50-50, let's say. But if you go out there for the coin toss, you have a 50% chance of getting the coin. All right, and then if you don't get the coin toss, you can still stop Kansas City. You still have a chance to stop them. You could do that. Now, they didn't do that. But, you know, even if you just hold to a field goal, you still get a chance to go win the game. So I think the rule is kind of silly. Like, just make it uniform.
I agree.
Regular season, postseason. Yeah, just, like, stop this two different rules for, like, if they want to claim player safety, well, we all know that's a bunch of nonsense, the way that they play. And, you know, Kansas City's playing on Thursday night, Monday night, you know, Friday. I mean, they're playing every day of the week, right? So they're not really that concerned. Right. They just want Kansas City on national TV every week. That's all.
Hey, you mean why they're adding 18 in their 19th game here pretty soon in regular season? I know. We're laughing ourselves. That's very funny. Hey, they win every week, the Kansas City Chiefs. They do, but they're always in these kind of games. They're the ones that always win. They are really good. They got a great defense. I never want to forget that. Are they still the team to beat? I understand they're champions.
Yeah.
Lions, maybe some teams that can beat them?
No, I like the Lions. I like the Lions. I know this. I know I'm going to get a great quarterback effort from the quarterback in Kansas City. Not that you're not with Jared Goff. He's playing great. You know, they've had injuries, you know, so we go get Kareem Hunt. He's playing really good. Had 20 carries for 90 yards in the second half. They can gain a yard when they need a yard. DeAndre Hopkins is an incredible fix for their issues at wide receiver.
Yeah.
They've gotten Kelce unlocked here, Joe. He's been targeted 28 times in the last two games.
Wow.
He's got 20 catches for 190 yards. Their own receiver in the league has been targeted as many times as Kelce the last 2 weeks. So they're getting him going. So they understand who they are. Defensively, they're very good. They lost a great player in Jalen Watson, but, you know, they just set the next guy up. They play three big linebackers. They're all 240 or more pounds, Chanel and Bolton and Tranquil. And nobody plays three linebackers as much as they do. And they use that group to really shut down the run, and they do. So they really don't have a weakness. And if you get to the postseason, do you really want to see Mahomes with the ball at the end to win the game? Probably not. Like, he's going to find a way. He just does.
Yeah, he is. He's just been incredible to watch. Hey, going back to the Dolphins, one of those two-win teams, were you surprised you think they'd make any kind of move one way or the other? Or did you expect them just to pretty much, hey, they're going for it and saying, hey, we got nine left. We got to basically win them all. We're pretty healthy. One of the healthier teams in football. We got some guys coming back defensively, and we're going to go for it. What'd you think about what they're going to try doing in the second half?
I thought losing Jalen Phillips, they lost a lot. Chop Robinson showed up last week. You know, maybe he has a good second half of the season. I thought if they really wanted to make that push to go win them all, like maybe there was a defensive end you could pry out there from somebody and, you know, really add that to the pass rush. I think they could use that. But otherwise, I mean, they got so many big, fat contracts, you know, especially on offense right now, that I don't know if you want to give up assets and pay that freight right now for a chance to maybe win it out. So I thought, you know, let's just see if, you know, Tua's healthy, he's playing good. Let's see if, you know, maybe you got to score 30 now to win some of these games against good teams. let's go score 30.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, by the way, real quickly, Insider's Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or any of our local grocery stores down here to make that delicious turkey and cheese sandwich or anything you're putting mayonnaise on. Boy, there's nothing like Hellman's. The great flavor, especially for any dish you might be making during football season. Hey, Baldy, a couple more and I'll let you go. Tonight we got a good one, Cincinnati. By the way, Joe Burrow's thrown 20 touchdowns, man. It just kind of snuck up on me against Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry, Lamar Jackson's still my MVP with what he does with running the ball and his 20 touchdown passes. What do you think about tonight's game and the MVP question right now?
Joe, I saw these two teams play 5 weeks ago in Cincinnati. It was a 41-38 victory for Baltimore in overtime that day, kicking a field goal to win 41-38. Burrow threw 5 touchdown passes in that game. And he said before the game, Joe, to me, he said, I got to be perfect today, Baldy. And that's just like, okay, I got to complete 30 for 30.
Yeah, wow.
But, you know, he just can't make mistakes. And so he threw 5 more touchdown passes last week. Baltimore's secondary is very vulnerable. Like, I think we're going to see a shootout tonight with two quarterbacks that could win the MVP. Joe's certainly capable of doing it. They probably play without T. Higgins. They're not quite as powerful without him. But, look for Ja'Marr Chase to have a great game. Look for Lamar and Derrick Henry to have a great game. It should be really entertaining. It was the first game, one of the best games I've seen in years 5 weeks ago. And I look for something similar tonight.
Where's Josh Allen fit in for you for the MVP with those two names and anybody else you want to put in there?
Well, I mean, there's Jared Goff. There's Josh Allen. You know, and Josh is playing unbelievable football. The offense makes so much sense. How they just create these wide open receivers. And when they're not like that, then he can scramble, create with the best of them. He's playing great. And so is Lamar. So is Joe. There's probably those four guys at the top of the leaderboard right now. And probably, if Derrick Henry or Saquon, have unbelievable second half of the seasons, maybe you put those two backs in there too.
Always great having you, Baldy. Appreciate it so much. You take care of yourself. We'll see you again next week, bud.
Sure will, Joe. Good being with you. Have a great one.
All right. Brian Baldinger from NFL Network and obviously Odyssey Insider as well. So what else do you have for me there, Mr. All Day Dan Day?
Yeah, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious.
Prepare for a manic Monday night football for the Miami Dolphins. This is the Tobin and Leroy Show. Show Pony Tobes out, but it's okay. We got Leroy. We got J-Fig holding things down. Like I just mentioned, Monday night football, Rams versus Dolphins. We got to hear from Tua. Yesterday, he spoke on a few things I want to go over now. One of them being that fourth down scramble that he had everybody nervous. He spoke about it. This is what the quarterback had to say.
Just knowing the situation of the game, knowing the time that if we didn't get that first down, that could potentially be the game if Buffalo, played their cards right with the plays and allowed us to use all our timeouts and whatnot. To me, it was important. Obviously, wouldn't have wanted to try to run somebody over or try to do that to get a first down. So, as you can see, I sort of, as I'm scrambling to the right, I'm looking at the sticks so that I know where to dive. And so that's sort of what ended up happening on that play. And luckily, we got it.
So here's the deal.
Yep.
On that play, he had to dive forward also.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he tries to slide, the ball is placed where you start to slide, and he wouldn't got the first. So he had to dive forward.
Correct.
And that's just the nature of the game. You still got to play the game. Because guess what? If he would have slid to protect himself and came up short on the first down, what do you think we'd be saying now?
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to play football. Are there moments where He can protect himself a little more, absolutely. And those are the times he needs to be aware, right? Like, when you run and you get as much as you can get, regardless of what the play is, go ahead on and get your slide on, because two extra yards, unless it's fourth down, ain't going to mean nothing if you ain't healthy.
Yep. The Dolphins have a lot of games ahead of them. And yep. If they want to be successful, it's going to require for them to win a majority of those games. Tua says they're not far off from going on a run.
It starts in practice and how we prepare with conversations you have as a leader of the defense, as a leader of the offense, as a leader of the team, having those conversations with the guys of what the expectation is, and continuing to harp on the guys to stay in it, you know, stay in it. We could be one game away from going on a streak and, you know, hopefully turning this whole thing around. So I would say that's sort of the process.
Well, I think they're going to win out personally. But to quote Coach Cristobal and the Hurricanes, one of the reasons why they've been successful is the same approach the Dolphins have to take. Every week, you got to go 1-0. Every that's week, not, you got to break it down.
That's fine. That's fine. That's great. They've been winning because their offense has been scoring 50.
Correct. 100%. Which is another thing, if they can copy that. That would definitely help my parlay.
I would say this, and I said it, and Tobin wanted to chop my throat, is that you can't win 7 until you win 1.
Yeah, that was good. So, that was great because you took college before that, too.
The reality of it is that in the last 2 weeks, when Tua's been back, they've shown a lot of improvement offensively. It seems like the running game and the passing game has been working well together. But knowing the way your defense has been playing, and you're going to have to minimize your mistakes offensively and at least try to run as many plays as possible and kind of help your defense out. That's just sports. That's the nature of what you do on a weekly and a daily basis, is that you all know this team. The team knows this team. The offense knows what they have to do to help the defense. The defense knows what they have to do to help the offense. Isn't it ironic that when Tua wasn't playing, the defense had their best stretch, right? With scoring, yards.
For sure.
Right. So it's got to work hand in hand. And once they get it clicking to where they are working together, meaning that the defense comes up with some key stops, the offense is taking advantage of the turnovers the defense gets, they're not turning the ball over and putting the defense in a bad spot. Once you start seeing that happening, then you can go on a little run. But as of right now, there's far too many mistakes at the wrong time. And even with that, you're in the last 2 weeks. But the turnovers and the crazy mistakes have hurt you.
The
Leroy, what D? Look, you got. When Tua wasn't playing, they were, you know, holding some of these teams. That granted, the teams weren't great, but yeah, you got like you just have. That's how you got to go about it. You got to go about it that way, simply because you know what you have. It serves no purpose for the offense to come out and say we're scoring enough points to win. Our defense ain't doing nothing. Right? It serves nobody any purpose. So you gotta have to, you know, play accordingly, work hand in hand. Like some parts of your team aren't gonna be as strong as the other part. But you're hoping that your strength can outweigh the weaknesses you have on your team.
The Miami Hurricanes are set for a sleepy nooner tomorrow against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. You nervous about that game at all, Leroy?
Yep.
Oh.
Because they've given up 30 points to teams that I never thought could score. Keep in mind, Florida State beat Cal.
Yeah, we struggled with them.
Right. So I would, you know, I'm always going to be a little worried, even though I will say this. You have the greatest equalizer in college football, and that's Cam Ward. So I'm not even diminishing that, not even making light of that.
Yeah.
But you can't be the team that relies on him every week. Just can't.
Yeah, for sure.
Tonight, Miami Heat match up against the Denver Nuggets. Ooh. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock tip off.
Yep.
Is that something that I should put a little parlay on potentially?
Sometimes. I don't like it's too wishy washy.
Too wishy washy.
With who's gonna score? The one constant right now is Tyler Herro.
Tyler Herro's gonna score. That's it. Put down.
That's it.
And you know what? Joker's gonna have a good game. I'll tell you what. Those are the two.
I'll tell you what, Bam slows him down. And you don't have any Murray and you don't have any Gordon.
Correct.
So that means he might score 50.
But Bam Adebayo to score either 22 plus points or 11 plus rebounds.
If I had to go with which one?
No.
I'd say it's 11.
They're combined. I can get value for both. Plus 115 on both of those. Like, I don't know. It's a game exclusive.
I wouldn't go with them. I always avoid doing anything with Bam on the offensive end when he has to guard somebody like Joker.
So you're saying he's a bum?
No, I'm not saying he's a bum at all. But you're asking him to guard a two-time MVP and then score 20? Like, let's keep it real. Like, he's going to exhaust so much on the defensive end, the defensive side of the ball, that
I think El Borre is right. He says, Frog Boy, chill out with your chili peppers, please. I think I'm doing too much.
You really need to calm down.
I think I'm doing too much. I mean, when you're on a hot streak, Figgy, you got to keep shooting. But maybe I'll just calm down for today. You know, you got to also know when to fold them. Got to know when to fold them.
Know when to pull back.
We will pull back the curtain and let you know Thanksgiving trivia is coming up next. Round two of Thanksgiving trivia returns when we come back. That is right. About that time, Show Pony is out, which means the game Show Goblin is in. Time now for round two of Thanksgiving trivia. Last round went to Leroy, took it home handedly, if I'm being honest.
Didn't I win at the end?
Yes, I gave you a bajillion points. Because I hate to see Leroy win, but we all know.
We all
know what really happened there. Now, you guys know the rules. You know how to buzz in. You guys are well aware of how to conduct yourselves appropriately. So let's go ahead and move into question number one. Guys, ready for this?
Ready.
Am I supposed to put my buzzer up?
Got
to
put your buzzer up. Leroy's buzzer.
Leroy.
Not up. His buzzer's not up. None of my business. Name a fall porch decoration. Leroy's buzzer's first.
That was me.
It's first. He just opens his hand. I don't even think he knows. He just opens up the buzzer very quickly. Leroy,
I do know.
All right, let's hear
Go
it.
For it.
Fall, pumpkin.
All right, show me pumpkin. Correct. The number two answer. The number two answer. Jay Fig, you have an opportunity to steal the number one answer available on the board. Name a fall porch decoration. Yeah, it's you.
Me.
Yes.
A wreath.
Oh, You need to R-E-S-P-E-C-T, her answer. Aretha is correct. The number one answer.
Aretha.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she thought of that.
She's looking at no.
No, I swear.
Okay.
I did not look at the chat. Okay. I just know because I like decorating with wreaths.
Well, there you go. You have 6 more answers available on the board. Jay Fig, would you like to pass or play?
Play.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play then, shall we? Name a fall porch decoration. 6 answers left on the board, Jay Fig.
Are you shaking your head because it was hard?
It's hard. It's just like, what? Some of these are like, it's just random. Really? Really? Like, what are we even talking about with this one?
Yikes. Okay. Lanterns?
Lantern. Show me lantern. Correct. That is the number 6 answer. You still have 5 more answers left on the board. Be prepared to steal, Leroy.
Is lights too
much like lanterns?
Oh, you're right. You're right. I did say lanterns. I don't really. Let's see.
First X. I'm sorry, Jay Fig. What'd you say?
Ribbons.
Ribbons. Show me ribbons. No ribbons. One more potential answer. A fall porch decoration. Show me inflatable turkey. Oh, I'm sorry, J-Fig. Inflatable turkey.
Listen, sir, you better put that back because I never said that.
All right. Fall porch decoration, J-Fig. Last one. You got 1X left. Can't crop this one out.
Okay, still me. You know what?
What?
Minus 1 for Saz.
That's fair. That is fair.
Minus 1.
One of those little floor mats.
Floor mat. Show me a floor mat. Sorry.
You know what? I don't know.
No floor
what
mat.
Are they?
Leroy, time now to steal.
In the fall.
Fall porch decoration. 5 answers left on the board.
I have 2
also,
answers.
May I add that Leroy was on his phone the whole time. He could have been.
Oh, willing. Leroy.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. What?
That's what I was doing.
All I saw was strap.
You got the strap?
Strap for my watch.
Wow.
What are you doing?
What's going on?
I saw leather strap. That's all I saw.
Leroy.
Wait.
What in the 50 Shades of Grey you got going on over there?
Time out.
Leroy.
Wait.
Woo.
While we sitting here and judging Leroy, this is more of an indication of what Jay Fig is about because she immediately went there.
We know what Jay Fig's about.
Yeah,
we remember.
We know you. Yeah,
we remember.
Okay,
remember that? That all led from a certain part of the country enjoying goth as their Pornhub category.
I don't live there, so that's
okay.
So Leroy, when you're not buying potentially sex toys, what is another fall porch decoration to steal? 5 answers left on the board.
Pine cones?
Ooh, now that's a good answer. Show me pine cone. Incorrect, unfortunately, Leroy.
I've never seen one pine cone.
Because you live
here.
In Florida.
Exactly. All also, right. I did say leaves. It's basically like on the first thing I said.
Wreath? Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
A sign is answer number 3. Flowers, answer number 4.
Flowers? That's a lie.
Doormat.
The same thing.
Okay.
What do you mean? I did say floor mat.
Okay. Well, a doormat is different from a floor mat. What do you want to
say? It is not. Okay. Guess what? They all go on the floor, don't they? Minus 1 for deception.
You won anyway. I don't understand.
Yeah. Isn't the floor mat inside and the doormat is outside?
That's what I was thinking personally. That's what
we're
I was
talking
thinking.
About the porch. So obviously it's outside.
Mm, she does
no,
got
but
a point.
It's called.
There.
It's not called the floor mat.
He's got a point there. Candles, lanterns was an answer. We said wheat and hay was another decoration that
wait
wasn't mentioned.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Yep.
Wait
a minute.
Oh, they don't have pine, but they got hay.
I don't
where'd they rules. Find that? What farm did they steal that from?
Tobin's
farm.
The final answer, pillows. Pillows on the porch. Very interesting.
Pillows on the porch.
Whatever.
Pillows on the porch.
We're clearly not American enough.
All right. Now, there are many different ways that potatoes can be prepared as a side dish on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to ask you guys question number two.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to let Leroy take this one. Maybe. You don't need to have to bring that to the
hey, Bubba, I have a very important question to ask you.
Oh, God.
You want to become partners in my swimming business?
Tell me all the ways to prepare a potato, Leroy. Okay.
There's baked potato.
All right. Hold on. That was your first answer, correct?
Yeah.
That is the number three answer. J-Fig, you got two other ways that you could potentially steal this. Are you interested in stealing?
What are my ways?
Well, you have to name a way to prepare a potato. Leroy said baked. That was the third answer. Potentially, you could have the second or first answer if you name a better way to prepare a potato for Thanksgiving side dish.
Can I go now?
Absolutely.
Mash. That's like the number one.
Number one answer. Mashed potatoes. Would you like to play or pass, J-Fig?
I can play.
Ooh.
You can play with, now that you boarded up that leather.
Wow.
Whoa.
It was not me. Wild. You're the one that got into telephone kink. It was. I got lucky.
I was
watching. You like, don't show that. That's a strap.
Look, you had it. Your phone was like this. It was half, right? So all I saw was leather and strap. Okay. I didn't see what was in the middle parts in between that.
It's a family show, ladies and gentlemen. This is a family show.
Talk to Jennifer.
What do you mean? Stop showing your phone.
I wasn't showing my phone. You thought I was cheating. I was not cheating.
Hmm. Well, if you weren't cheating, then it's safe to say we can continue on with our game. J-Fig, do you have another way to prepare potatoes?
Like the very thin ones, like the scalloped, I think it's called.
Scallops. Show me scalloped potatoes. Correct. That was the number five answer. You got five more answers left.
Let me look on the chat because I know damn well. You didn't just come up with scalloped off the top of your head.
I love those.
That and a reef.
I like making them crispy
too. All right. Name another way to prepare potatoes. Crispy.
With your leather strap.
Another way to prepare a potato.
Yeah. Okay, on Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay, so we have scalloped, we have mashed, we have... What was the other one that Leroy said?
Baked. Correct.
Okay. I'm going to go with... Can I say fries?
French fries. Show me fries. Number two answer.
What?
You got four
Nobody
more
has
answers.
French fries at Thanksgiving.
Number two answers.
I like fries.
Name a way to prepare potatoes. Four answers left on the board. You got
I'm
answers.
I'm starting to think you don't like fries. You like the hot oil. Wow. To go with your leather strap.
Oh. Point for Leroy.
So glad Tobin is not here.
You started it.
Need another strap in the bedroom. Blue Chew. name a way to prepare potatoes. Ladies and gentlemen, we have four more answers left on the board.
Okay.
Figgy?
Is it still me? Okay.
I
Can I say loaded potatoes? I don't know.
Ooh, loaded potatoes. Sounds delicious. Unfortunately, not on the board. Two more X's to go before Leroy has a chance to steal.
Tater?
Okay. Tater tots. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Tater tots. Unfortunately, not there. Although, pretty delicious.
Pretty good.
Four more answers left.
I'm a big fan of the tater tot.
Yeah, tater tot's pretty good.
Don't you? What? Yeah, just yesterday you said that was children's food.
Yeah, actually,
I like tater tots. They're like baby hash browns.
But you make fun of Tubman every time you order some, though.
He doesn't order tater tots.
That's a good point. They are like that.
In
aren't
Vegas?
They?
No, it was a bunch of grown-ass men passing around tater tots like they had invented the fry. All like, right. It was disgusting to see these clowns. Ooh, try one. It's a damn tater tot, dude. Keep it moving.
That doesn't mean it's not good.
All right, I'm sorry. Time has run out on the final answer. Name a way to prepare potatoes. One more X remaining.
Pie.
Mmm, potato pie. Pretty good. Unfortunately, not on the top eight.
What? So, let me go. I had a bunch of answers.
All right, what do you got? What do you got, Leroy?
Au gratin.
What?
Hey, what?
Au gratin.
All right.
Oh.
Okay. I'm sure that's a way to do things.
I know.
Not one of the
In my hood, somebody going to make some potato salad.
Potato salad, the correct answer.
But I just... Now,
I do like some
sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
It is potato.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you like this. That's blasphemous that wasn't on the list.
Which one? Sweet potato pie?
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, the rest of the list consisted of hash browns and chips.
Who eats hash browns on Thanksgiving?
Very strange. Chips as well. Yeah. Roasted potatoes. I don't know.
Roasted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody eats roasted potatoes.
People do. It's on the list.
I mean, not for Thanksgiving.
Mm.
When was the last time you sat down, ate turkey and all that stuff and said, ooh, let me hit them roasted potatoes.
Ooh, got to get me the roasted potatoes. Oh, yeah, I see that.
Last year, Leroy, come on.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, everyone's like, give me the roasted potatoes.
There ain't no way in hell that when y'all, no way in hell.
All right, you guys ready for the final question? Worth a million bajillion points.
Yeah.
You guys will have an opportunity to answer this question, both of you guys. So it'll go one at a time. That's how we're going to do that one. You guys ready for that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, final question. Again, worth 1 million bajillion points. For all the marbles. Are your buzzers up? I'm not even on the right thing.
Yeah.
Name a Thanksgiving side dish. Oh, that was Jay Fig this time. That was Jay Fig with the buzzer.
I had to think.
Yeah. Now, again, both you guys will be answering this question, so it's a matter of...
Yeah. Go.
Jay Fig, you are first.
Ready? Are we? Oh, I'm waiting for Marco.
Yes. You are first.
Okay. Mac and cheese. I made it last year.
Mac and cheese? In an amazing turn of events, mac and cheese is not in the top seven answers.
What?
Wow. This is egregious.
Let me tell you something.
That is crazy. How is that not in the top?
Thanksgiving?
You just need one side dish to steal it all and be crowned the winner. The correct answer he provided was stuffing. Stuffing's on the board! Leroy wins!
I could go a list.
Go ahead, fire
stuffing,
off your list. Yep.
Green bean casserole.
That was next.
Well, where I'm from, so I'm not going to even say it. We got cranberry.
Oh, gross.
Is cranberry a side? Yeah.
Nah, it is a side, but they didn't have any.
Some people won't do Thanksgiving without the cranberry. In fact, I got a whole cabinet full of cranberry because we forget to open it. I like the gelatin, not them whole fresh cranberries. It's disgusting.
Very true.
Marcos likes it from the can.
Yes.
Can
shape. Yeah.
But the shape of the can.
Yeah, I need the lines.
Don't prepare.
You like it just sitting on the table, just jiggling.
I want the lines from the aluminum.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Wait, you want to pop it out? You know you got to pop it out.
Exactly.
Like, you got the top off. And it's just sitting there. It's the only thing that's so far from being real.
For sure.
Everything else is home cooked, and you just got some gelatin just sitting on the table.
I would love to be wherever Marcos is for Thanksgiving. Mm. He shows up like, hey, guys, I prepared some cranberry.
Hey,
he just shows up.
Hey, you know why I like that cranberry, Marcos?
Why?
Here's why. Because I can take and mash a little bit on my fork, then get some mac and cheese, then get some turkey.
Mm.
Right? Boom. Go in.
All in one.
The other one with the real cranberry, you got to put it on the fork,
then
it falls off. Nah.
Yeah, gross. Now I got to chew a cranberry. Gross.
Yep. Al Mackey said it right. If it doesn't have the shape of the can, it ain't no good. Well, my wife makes real cranberry sauce.
Gross.
And guess what?
It's just a decoration.
It's been years. In fact, guess what I do?
What?
I go open one on the can and put it in the other refrigerator, and then I go cut me a little piece, and then I put it on a little saucer, and then when we all sit down to eat, I put down my cranberry.
You got secret cranberry?
And they all give me the look. You'd rather eat that than the homemade? Don't judge me.
Mm.
You stuffed the turkey with ground meat, Mima.
Oh,
Mima.
That was personal.
Yes. Hey, that caught me off guard the first time we had Thanksgiving together. I'm like, hold up. We ain't cook. You just raw, like, meatloaf up in there? Mm. I said, I don't even know if they're friends like that.
They got close that day.
They're real close.
Do you want meatloaf in your turkey? Blue Chew! Okay. When we come back, we'll let you know who or what is dead to us.
You're dead to me.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. Tobin been out all day. Leroy J. Fig holding things down with your boy Marcos here. Time now to determine who or what is dead to us. Leroy, why don't you start us off?
So, I am so tired of the whole political thing, right?
Fair.
Here's the deal. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We all voted for it. I trust the democracy of it all. And now we live with it. To tell people they're wrong or not or whatever. You know what? We had that the last election. Where somebody told somebody they were so wrong that they rushed the Capitol.
Yeah.
So to all the people that, you know, don't believe in the process or whatever, you're dead to me. That's what democracy is. This is what we voted for. Live with it. Deal with it. Like, you had a chance to do something about it. Clearly, there wasn't enough done. And guess what? You'd be amazed. This ain't got nothing to do with whether I'm a Trumper or not.
Yeah.
Okay? I am a person that believes in the process. I am a person that believes that every country doesn't have the opportunities that we have. And so once they happen, you know, I get on people that do this with their team. Your team loses, the official screwed us. No, the other team was better. Just deal with it. We'll be okay. But now you know.
Yep, very true.
You're dead to me.
I'll go next. My dead to me is very, very simple. If for any reason you thought the refs got this covered and we don't need any more rules or regulations, look no further than last night's game as the final play comes down to a missed face mask and a missed defensive holding. I think personally the entire idea that we have cameras everywhere to capture everything but can only challenge certain things is an antiquated thought that is dead to me.
You're dead to me.
We have the technology. Why not use them, especially when the game's on the line? This could be something that has repercussions or ramifications later on. If this was a Super Bowl, if this was a playoff game, people would be more upset. So with that being said, refs, you're dead to me.
You're dead to me.
Hey.
Yeah.
Didn't I just have this conversation about fans that saying the refs screwed them?
Ref screwed us, though, dude.
And how come I can't be a Karen, or I'm a Karen if I complain about getting what I pay for, yet nobody else is considered a Karen if the official screwed them?
The official screwed us, dude. We're not mad at anyone but the refs. We're mad at the zebras, dude.
You're what dead, are we dude. Doing?
Right. Jay Fig, what do you got?
All right, guys, in spirit of this weekend, which is Country Bay Music Festival, my dead to me, I think, goes to my youth, because at 31, when I saw the time slots for the artist, mind you, the person I really want to see tomorrow is Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
And you know how much times I've worked festivals.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. So I'm kind of used to all the timing. When I saw what time Carrie is going to perform, my jaw dropped to the floor.
12 o'clock.
What time?
Well, no, a little bit earlier than that. At 10 o'clock, and I'm just like, why so late?
Ooh. Well,
you're going to be here, so you want to see all of the artists, but you don't want to be there that long.
Yeah.
Is she the headliner?
She's a headliner.
So that's why you're she goes on land.
My
you are familiar
is
with all I these. Got, well, you are familiar with the way these things
whoa,
work.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa.
Hey.
But
whoa, whoa.
The headliner, whoa. Let's say for Tortuga, it's a whole day music festival, right? The headliner goes on at latest 8 p.m. So when I saw 10 o'clock, I was like.
So let me ask you, what time does it start?
The exit to where it's at is absolutely crazy, because at that time, it's going to be just two lanes.
Yeah. Hey, questioning.
Yeah.
When does it start?
Like at 12.
Compared to Tortuga. When did Tortuga start?
Same time. Okay. Around the same time.
Is there more artists?
Probably. If you're interested in
seeing. No, this one has less. This one has less.
Maybe they're going to perform longer.
If you're interested in seeing any of these artists, you can call us now, 305-567-0560. Don't be washed and old like J-Fig.
You're dead to me.
Come enjoy.
You know what's worse is that I thought that, but then like the people I'm going with, they get tired so quickly too.
Nah,
so
I feel the same way.
It just doesn't work out for me.
Well, callers, we're giving away two more general admission passes to Country Bay Music Festival. Give us a call right now, 305-567-0560. Caller number what, J-Fig?
Let's see. Caller number two.
Should have said caller number 10 for the time that Carrie Underwood was going on.
Man.
Caller number two and caller number 10. You get tickets. Thank you for listening to Tobin and Leroy. We'll be back on Monday. Talk to you then.
Hope you mother have a good day.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.